Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hello, how are you doing tonight? The name of the show. Dadgummit. The name of the show is The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends, and I'm glad that you chose to join us tonight. I'd like to welcome you here, and I'd like to give you the guest call-in number. If you feel like calling in, give us a call at 347-945-7040. And just a brief disclaimer and a slight description or a brief description of the room or the show. The disclaimer is any comments or opinions you hear on this show don't necessarily represent the views and or beliefs of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. And what the show is all about is this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members and communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others, synergizing, in other words, combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, hopefully. There will be musical segments to come in the future, interesting guests to come in the future, as well as questions and comments from the listening audience. If you have any interest or in improving situations for our youth, like maybe stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, or reassessing the significance of spiritual impact in our environment, or investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many poignant topics, too numerous to include. Join us, please, on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And let me look at the chat room and see if anybody's there. I don't see anybody there right now. But if you feel like it, give us a call. Call in at 347-945-7040. Just a look at some issues that I found that might be relevant and pertinent tonight. There is an issue that I found in Consortium News. And the author of this article was Crystal M. Hayes. And Crystal Hayes was doing was she wanted to discuss what really separates the Tea Party from the Black Panther Party. And in this article, it was a very interesting article, so I'll briefly go through it for you, if you don't mind. And I hope it'll stimulate some comment or some feedback from you, the listening audience. Anyway, it says, I was 3 years old when I watched my father, mother, and 3-week-old baby brother nearly murdered in a hail of bullets during a police raid on a home in September of 1973. My father, Robert Seth Hayes, was a member of the Black Panther Party, and ever since that day, some 37 years ago, he's been a political prisoner in the state of New York. So when I read the Cord Jefferson's article, Is the Tea Party the New Black Panther Party, on the root.com, I could not help but remember and relive the pain and trauma of that day. I also became frustrated and angry because Jefferson's article is historical and continues the tradition of attacking the party and misrepresenting its history and legacy. What's more, it does so in a forum that prides itself on getting African-American history correct. Jefferson begins his piece predictably by drawing a caricature of the party, images of armed, angry black men going to war against the U.S. government. But the images that are used aren't even Panther members. His opening lines are accompanied by a photo of Malik Zulu Shabazz, a member of the new Black Party, Black Panther Party, as an unaffiliated group founded in 1989 that has no connection with the Black Panther Party, other than the name that is appropriated. In fact, original Black Party Panther members openly reject the new Black Party Panther Party because its ideology promotes violence, separatism, nationalism, and values that her father and other Black Party Panther Black Panther Party members have long abandoned as part of an effective political ideology and strategy. In fact, the new Black Panther Party was successfully sued by Huey P. Newton Foundation, and in an effort to keep it from calling themselves the Black Panther Party, for self-defense. The Black Panther Party is the original name. This is just one example of the article's glaring inaccuracies. There are many more. Chief among them is the central argument that Tea Party waving guns, screaming racial epithets, threatening violence against Black elected officials, and holding anti-tax rallies is similar to the Black Party Panthers' response to systemic police brutality, which involved developing communities-based projects that promoted self-defense, Black political power, and freedom from economic exploitation. Jefferson admits that reconciling the Marxist underpinning of the Black Panther Party ideology with the laissez-faire philosophy of the Tea Party is impossible, but appears determined to overlook this and other core differences in his effort to make the case that Black Panther Party and Tea Party political grievances are similar enough to legitimately link the two, reducing the Black Panther Party to a crazy fringe organization primarily characterized by angry gun-toting radicals, radicals displays Jefferson's lack of understanding of the Black Panther Party's grassroots political philosophy and commitment to community organizing. The truth of the matter is that the Black Panther Party and the Tea Party are nothing alike. To begin with, the Tea Party offers nothing close to sophisticated analysis of political and economic conditions, marginalized and oppressed people, whether Black, white, or anything else. The Black Panther Party developed a 10-point platform. I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't until I read this article. That articulated better than any other grassroots group of its time a set of demands and reform proposals intended to improve the lives of ordinary people. The Tea Party, meanwhile, has a terrible understanding of the way current political and economic systems operate. They spend their time protesting stimulus programs, healthcare reform, and recently have embraced Tea Party favorite Rand Paul's advocacy for resegregating private businesses. But that's not the same as building a movement that enacts change through projects like the free breakfast program for children, as the Black Panther Party did. Whether you agree with the Black Panther Party politics or not, they at least had an actionable agenda. Jefferson, who is the author of this article, taking issue with, Jefferson's poor grasp of history and sloppy analysis reaches new disturbing heights when he suggests that the Black Panther Party and the Tea Party partisan parallelism are the same. He writes, where the Tea Party and the Black Panther Party appear to connect most perfectly is at their hips, where they keep their guns. The Second Amendment and the arsenals it allows is a cornerstone of both organizations, and for very similar reasons, fear of governmental authority. Paramilitarism was always at the forefront of the Black Panther Party's operations, mostly because they thought rightly that the government was out to destroy them. Factual or not, many Tea Partiers believe they are in a similar danger. What is the difference between actually wholly believing the government is after you and the government really being after you? In regard to that, this question astounds me, this lady writes, in as she addresses the article written by the individual who compared the two and tried to cite similarities between the Tea Party and the Black Panther Party. The differences are stark and clear, as being 8 months pregnant and awakened by gunfire in the middle of the night to find your fiance's limp, bullet-ridden body lying next to you with a Black Panther Party member, Deborah Johnson, Black Panther Party member Deborah Johnson did in 1969. This versus living in a world of conspiracy theories and doomsday predictions. Johnson was one of the survivors of the FBI's K counterintelligence campaign called COINTELPRO that claimed the life of several Black Party Panther members, including her fiancé. Fred Hampton and Mark Clark. Their murderers were one of the worst acts of violence against the Black Panther Party at the hands of police, who in Chicago and elsewhere had partnered with the FBI to target a broad array of civil rights groups and people, including Martin Luther King. A serious analysis of the Tea Party's core values, constituents, goals, rhetoric reveals that the group is not a modern white version of the Black Panther Party, but is instead a very antithesis of the Black Panther Party, despite including former Black Party Panther chairwoman Elaine Brown's reputation of a parallel physical, political, and economic oppression that the Black Panther Party members and supporters face with the imagined oppression of the Tea Partiers. As evidence of a link, Jefferson quotes Tea Partier Chris Littleton, who argues that current federal programs to ban foods high in salt and sugar from the lunches provided by public school constitutes one of many serious denials of freedom. Should the government be in control of the personal diets of families, asked Littleton, who then concludes that that's oppressive. I can't help but wonder if either Littleton or Jefferson ever heard of bag lunches. Bag lunches are what the Black Panther Party did. Now, this is me saying this. What the Black Panther Party did in order to provide some food for the young black children who were denied food in school during that period of time. They didn't have the breakfast or the free lunch, and the Black Panther Party in a lot of large cities tried to provide some substance for these little children, which I think was a commendable act, and it is definitely not comparable to what the Tea Party has been doing, which is what this article is about. This little lady is addressing the article that was written to try to compare favorably the Black Panther Party and the Tea Party. And what she is doing with her article is she's citing some very distinct differences between the two. Jefferson's clumsy historical analysis continues with his reference to Eldridge Cleaver. Cleaver is mentioned several times in the pieces, and each time he is used to represent the entire Black Panther Party. Cleaver, however, did not found the Black Panther Party. Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton did. While Cleaver did play an integral role in defining the group's messaging and direction in its heydays, the Black Panther Party was not his gang. Jefferson closed an image of Cleaver's running for our U.S. Senate as a Republican in his latter years is also absurd. By that point, the Black Panther Party had long disbanded, and well before then, Cleaver had defected from the group. Jefferson's mishandling of history is not only dishonest, it's also dangerous. In fact, it reminds me of the famous quote by Spanish-American philosopher George Santayana, who said, "Those who cannot remember the past are doomed to repeat it." When our history is so carelessly blurred, we do not know the right questions to ask or the right steps to take to rectify the societal ills that plague us today. Those who think concerns about historical accuracy are limited to academics need only to look at Texas and Arizona. This is an interesting observation this lady makes in her piece here, where lawmakers are attempting to erase important moments in our nation's history from public school textbooks. Indeed, it's a sad coincidence that TheRoot.com saw fit to publish this historically inaccurate, intellectually insincere article a year after its founding father, Henry Louis Gates Jr., came face to face with the very real vestiges of the unjust system and structures that the Black Panther Party members, like my father, fought tirelessly against. As was the case for my family, this lady continues on, and even for Skip Gates, these unjust systems and structures didn't merely threaten to raise our taxes, they threatened our lives and livelihoods. But for my families, but for my family especially, and for many others like us, when those who represented these systems and structures came looking for us, they didn't come to our front doors politely, knocking first. They busted through, shooting first. And this is an article that was written by a lady named Crystal M. Hayes. What really separates the Tea Party from the Black Panther Party? And I'm looking forward to seeing some individuals that might find a desire or would like to visit the program. And if you do, please give us a call at 347-945-7040. We'd be glad to hear what some of your views and opinions would be. Otherwise, I'll continue on with some other issues that I think may be relevant and pertinent to you. And if so, I hope you enjoy these. One of the other issues that I stumbled upon as I was looking for some information for the program this week, this is information that everyone should know. Blood clot strokes, they now have a fourth indicator, and that's the tongue. And I didn't know anything about this. They were, in this particular article that was referred to me by a friend of mine, an area of the brain deprived of blood, they have a diagram here. And they're talking about a blood clot and blood vessels, and blood unable to pass that clot. And I'm sure what that does, I guess, is just hold up the blood flow, depriving the brain of blood, which I guess causes the stroke. But anyway, the article goes on to say, during a barbecue, a friend stumbled and took a little fall. She assured everyone that she was fine. They offered to call paramedics. She said she had just tripped over a brick because of her new shoes. So I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like this, but if you ever do and you see a friend who stumbles, and he may be a he or a she, and, you know, it's something that is extraordinary for that individual, then these are some of the things that, you know, you may consider and see if it has any, see if it offers any information or enlightenment to you that you might find it might be beneficial for you. It says they got her cleaned up and got her a new plate of food. While she appeared a bit shaken up, Ingrid went about enjoying herself the rest of the evening. Ingrid's husband, and this is the lady that stumbled and said that everything was okay, Ingrid's husband called later telling everyone that his wife Ingrid had been taken to the hospital. At about 6 p.m. that same day, Ingrid passed away. She had suffered a stroke at the barbecue. Had they known how to identify the signs of a stroke, perhaps Ingrid would be with us today. They say some don't die. They end up in a helpless, hopeless condition instead. So these are just some things that you may look out for and some of your family members or some of your friends, if you're in a situation, you know, keep your wits about you. And as it continues on, this article said it only takes a minute to read this. It says a neurologist says that if you can get to a stroke victim, now this is what a neurologist says, okay, that if he can get to a stroke victim within 3 hours, he can totally reverse the effects of a stroke. And may I accentuate the word totally? He said he could. A neurologist says that if he can get to a stroke victim within 3 hours, he can totally reverse the effects of the stroke. He said the trick was getting a stroke recognized, diagnosed, and then getting the patient medically cared for within 3 hours, which is tough. So, you know, the clock starts ticking whenever you begin to notice strange behavior by the individual that, that you may be in the presence of, and hopefully some of these ideas might provide you with some information if you were around a family member, a close friend, or just someone that you're acquainted with, or maybe someone that you may not even know. You know, recognizing a stroke could be of extreme benefit for that individual, you know, especially hopefully if it's a family member. 3 hours, I mean, that could keep that member there with you a little bit longer. Anyway, it says, thank God for the sense to remember 3 steps. Okay? The 3 steps are, begin with STR. It says read and learn. Sometimes symptoms of a stroke are difficult to identify. Unfortunately, the lack of awareness spells disaster. So if you're not aware, then you're not able to assist the individual who may be having some physical difficulties as a result or potentially of a stroke. STR. Remember that those 3 letters. The stroke victim may suffer severe brain damage when people nearby fail to recognize the symptoms of a stroke. STROKE, stroke. Remember the first 3 letters, STR. Non-doctors say a bystander can recognize a stroke by asking 3 simple questions. The S question. Ask that individual who you think is having some physical difficulties to smile, just simply to smile. T, ask the person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently. And they use as an example, it is sunny out today. Now, this may sound trite, but the next letter is R, STRR. Ask him or her to raise both arms. Okay? I'll repeat those. S, let me go and I reiterate this, the information in the title here. It says, now doctors say a bystander can recognize a stroke by asking 3 simple questions. STR, S, is ask the individual to smile. T, ask the person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently. The example they give as far as the sentence goes is, it is sunny out today, right? Okay, R, ask him or her to raise both arms, right? And if he or she has trouble with any one of these tasks, call emergency numbers immediately and describe the symptoms to the dispatcher. New sign of stroke. The new sign of a stroke is to stick out your tongue. So you have the STR, and you have also one more opportunity to try to ascertain if that individual is potentially having a stroke. And the way you do that is ask that individual to stick out their tongue. You know? Note, another sign of a stroke is this: ask the person to stick out his or her tongue. If the tongue is crooked, and I didn't know this, it could be contorted. I didn't know this. If the tongue is crooked or if it goes to one side or the other, that also is an indication of a stroke. So I hope that these things might be of some assistance to you in regard to some family members that you may be in the presence of, or a friend, or maybe just a bystander looking at someone having some difficulty. Hey, lady down south, can you hear me? Can you hear me, lady down south? I'm hoping I got this thing worked out today. Had a problem last week with it for sure. And anyway, lady down south, can you hear me? You can hear me? Oh, wow, I'm so glad. Thank you for coming, Lady Down South. Lady Down South, if you want to give me a call, let me give you the number here, if you feel like it. It's just me in here right now, so you and I, kind of intimate. 347-945-7040. And Lady Down South, if not tonight, some night, is going to provide us some information Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I am so happy this thing's working tonight. But I haven't tried the phone yet, so I'll keep watching on the switchboard. I don't know how to operate this thing real well. I'm getting used to it. But I got a little while to go here, so I'm going to do the best I can. Let's see. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about was, and it's Thursday night. Can't type. Wordy, you're here? Let me see. Hold on. Let me see. Let me see. Dang it. There we go. There you are. Okay, let me see. I don't know how, why you can't type. Let me try something here. I don't know if this will work. Tell me if this throws me off or not. They said I can clear my cache. Oh, here it is. By doing that, I don't know if that's going to work. But anyway, I'm so sorry you can't type. Control. You know, ladies down south, Worthy is in here, and she can't type. She was typing to me on the other site. Yeah, I see you, guest 32. Can you hear me? Dang it. Anyway, I'm. Please forgive me. You hear me? Okay, great. Would you try to log back in? Maybe the chat room won't let me type. Crud. Let me see. I don't know what controls I have in here. Lady down south can type. Clear screen. Open message history. Turn off sound. Stop scrolling. Publish. I'm trying to figure out if there is anything that I can do to facilitate you being able to type in here. And I do not. Oh, did you register? Lady down south said, did you register? If you registered, then maybe that might help. Let me look back. I got to look back at the chat site and see what she said here. You have to, yeah, register. Right. Would you do that and try back again? And we'll see what happens. Because I really want you to give me some information. Hey, Platinum, how you doing? Can you hear me? Can you type in the room, Platinum? And thank you all for coming. Can you type in the room, Platinum? Jeez. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, type on our little network. Just send me an instant message ladies down south told me that, yeah. Oh, okay, I'll do that right now. Thank you. Let me do that right now. Wordy gave me some information that I need to have. I appreciate it. And I'll keep dropping this link in there. Yeah, but, oh, you can type too. All right, hey, great. Great, absolutely great. There's what Worthy said for me to put in the room. Can you type now, Worthy? And Platt, welcome. Ladies down south, welcome. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you the number here in just a second to give me a call if you choose to. And I'd appreciate it if you did, you know. I'm trying to learn how to work this switchboard. Y'all know I am. I'm not going to give up. I am not going to give up. I don't care what. No, I ain't going to give up. I don't care what happens. It's going on, man. It's on like neck bone. Anyway, I'm just writing this down. For those who need to, R-E-G-I-S-T-E-R, and please forgive me for being so unprofessional, but that's the way I'm having to roll right at the present time. And any topic you want to talk about is relevant, so just feel free to do so. Ah, thank you, Worthy. You just, yeah, get registered up and come on back, will you? Platt, and ladies down south, I'll give you the phone number. If you want to call, I'm going to see if I can put you on the line if you decide to call. Call-in number is 347-945-7000. 347-945-7040 if you choose to call. And you know your calls will be welcome. And we can discuss anything you want to talk about. I just had a few things that let me put this number over here in my little file so I'll have it, and I can just type it in there when I get ready. Okay. This is kind of awkward, really, but I'm just gonna have to get accustomed to it because everything's not the chat room's on a different page from the switchboard, and oh my god, it's all good. That's the call-in number if you want to give a call here, and I'm hoping that I wanted to get me a plug-in phone rather than a corded phone, just in case my batteries ran out. I'm learning as I go. But anyway, ladies down south, did you hear what I was talking about the stroke? And Platinum, did you hear that, what I was talking about the stroke earlier? If you didn't, I sure want you to hear that. Let me see if I can pull it back up. Okay. This is crazy. Something happened to my Internet Explorer. And I went to Lays Down South. I went to Firefox. You'd be proud of me. I went Windows Internet Explorer to Firefox, you know, trying to make everything work out right. I got to get back in here because, I don't know, these guys that work for the company that I work for sent me this, and it's got their AD on it, and I really don't want to put their ADs out there, but I'll find a way to copy it. I wish I could copy it that it had the pictures on it, but if it doesn't, I'm going to give you the information anyway. If you give me just a second, I'm going to wait. I can't see what's going on in the room right quick. But if you give me just a second, I'll get right back in the room. And I'll get this. I wanted to pull up this information for anybody that didn't hear me earlier. My buddy, he's about my age. He lives in Houston. And he's getting ready to retire. And I can't because I don't have enough money. But life goes on. Anyway, now. Platinum, did you hear me? You did too? Yeah, right. Did you hear it, Platinum? Did y'all hear me talking about the stroke, ladies down south? Did you hear me talking about the stroke earlier? And I forgot to get that information you did? Okay. Well, I'm going to bore you because I want to share it with Platinum and with Worthy, if that's okay. But anyway, I didn't get a chance to talk to Admin S, but I will. I was going to get with you. I went over there a little earlier, and I didn't see her, but I'll make sure next week. I'm just having to write things down so I can remember to get them done this time. Oh, you didn't hear me talking. Let me give you this because I think this is very, very – ladies down south, would you say that would be some good information really about the stroke thing? You know, because, you know, I'll just go over it again if that's okay. I know it may bore you ladies down south, and I would appreciate it if you'd bear with me. This Platinum and Worthy, if y'all are here, I'm going to say this, excuse me. It says, information everyone should know. It says, blood clots, stroke, they now have a fourth indicator. Tongue, and y'all may already know this, and it's got a diagram of the body, and it shows how that strokes actually occur, and this is for stroke identification, so I'm going to reread it. Anyway, during a barbecue, a friend stumbled and took a little fall, and this is referred to me by someone else. It says, during a barbecue, a friend stumbled and took a little fall. She assured everyone that she was fine. And they offered to call the paramedics, and she said she had just tripped over a brick because she had new shoes. So they got her all cleaned up and got her a new plate of food. And while she appeared to be a little bit shaken, the lady's name was Ingrid. Ingrid went about enjoying herself the rest of the evening. You know, she just stumbled and everything and fallen, and they got her all lined out and got her back a new plate of food. And so she went about enjoying her evening. And then Ingrid's husband called later telling everyone that his wife had been taken to the hospital at 6 p.m. that evening. And Ingrid passed away. She had suffered a stroke at the barbecue. And had they known how to identify the signs of a stroke, perhaps Ingrid would have been with us today. Since some don't die, they end up in a helpless, hopeless condition instead. It only takes a minute to read this, so I'm going to go ahead and read this again. It says a neurologist says that if you can get to a stroke victim within 3 hours, he can totally reverse the effects of the stroke. And he underlines totally. He said the trick was getting a stroke recognized, diagnosed, and then getting the patient medically cared for within 3 hours, which is tough. So, you know, there are some of, you know, you guys live in a nice large cities where that you have that kind of medical attention available to you. And this is for family members or friends or passersby or whatever. If you see these signs, it says recognizing a stroke. Thank God for the sense to remember the three steps. And the three steps are STR, the first three letters of stroke, STR. It says read and learn. Sometimes symptoms of a stroke are difficult to identify. Unfortunately, the lack of awareness spells disaster. The stroke victim may suffer severe brain damage when people nearby fail to recognize the symptoms of a stroke. It says the stroke, remember the first three letters, STR. Now doctors say a bystander can recognize a stroke by asking three simple questions. STRS is ask the individual to smile. You know, because if that person, you know, I think it's because they lose the muscle, the ability to control their own muscles when they're having a potentially a stroke. So ask the individual to smile. And then the second one, the T, is ask the person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently. You know, and the example that they give is, it is sunny out today. Just ask them to say a simple sentence. It is sunny out today, for instance. And then the R is ask him or her to raise both arms. And obviously, when that person is having a stroke, they may not be able to. So STR, smile, talk, say a simple sentence, and R is to raise both arms. If he or she has trouble with any one of these tasks, call an emergency number immediately and describe the symptoms to the dispatcher. And then they have a new sign of a stroke, which is to stick out your tongue. Another sign of a stroke is this: ask the person to stick out his or her tongue. If the tongue is crooked, if it goes to one side or the other, that is also an indication of a stroke. And because I think that it must have something to do with losing muscle control. But anyway, those are some of the things. Worthy, welcome back. Thank you for coming. Was that you, 3465 Worthy? Worthy Network Live. All right. There, anytime, ladies down south, anytime. That number, I'm going to give you that number again. You got it already, but I'm going to put it in here. Can y'all see my little boat scene? They said I could change the background, so I just took a shot and changed the background. Here's the number to call if you feel like calling. I'd be so happy to have you call, and I'll try my best to get you on, because I had some problems getting people on last week. 347-945-7040. And but anyway, I keep looking over here. I can't look at them both for some reason at the same time. I'm going to have to learn how to split these screens. Either that or I'm going to have to give me another computer, which I can't afford. You called and was able to listen to the show, but you couldn't. But have you... Try again, ladies down south. And let me get over here so I can see. Because I should be able to put you on if you give me a call. It says no callers right now. But anyway, it's 347-945-7040. There you are. There you are. Let me get you on right quick. Let me see how do I do this on the air, right?
I should be able to put you on if you give me a call. It says no callers right now. But anyway, it's 347-945-7040. There you are. There you are. Let me get you on right quick. Let me see how do I do this on the air, right? I should be able to put you on if you give me a call. It says no callers right now.
Can you hear me?
347-945-7040. There
you are. There you are. Okay, great. I was just calling to make sure you are able to hear me.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Tell me something good. You see my dolphin jumping up in the Gulf before that oil got out there?
Yes.
do you have a lag also?
To hear me? Yeah, okay, now I'm listening to it. Yeah, I can. It's coming through real good. I can hear you.
You know what we may have to do is turn down the radio, turn down the...
That's what I was doing.
Ah, okay. And because there may be that lag that's causing everything to be distracted, but you can hear me now.
Yeah, very good.
I can hear you very well, too. And Worthy, Platinum, y'all could give me a call. I could put all of us on the line at the same time, I think. Y'all got to mess with this thing. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know I'm not backing off of it. But let me get back over here so I can see if I can see. Ladies down south, I still got you here. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That was my reason for calling to make sure, because I remember last week the call couldn't go through to you. So
right,
I decided to see if it would go through today.
I got you loud and clear. Sound great to me coming out of that, around that Gulf Coast down there. I hope y'all not getting any of that oil. Are y'all getting any oil down there?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm hoping it don't get this far down.
Ain't that something? I tell you, you know, while I got you here, one of the things is that's going to make y'all's... Do you have shrimp boats down there where you are?
Yes, they have.
And crabbing guys and all those commercial fishermen and everything like that?
They're all parked and upset.
But what I'm getting at is they ought to be making the money that ordinarily would go down to Louisiana.
But they're not letting them go out into the Gulf.
Oh, because, you know, I was thinking that the oil was going east and not coming back to the west. So, and I'm thinking that oil was from Louisiana farther, and they're not letting them go out, huh?
The cutoff day was May 15th.
Wow.
And said yet when they were going to be able to pick back up.
Right. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep talking with you. I was just going back to the chat room.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Logged into work. Oh, I see what you're saying, Worthy. Worthy's at work. Platinum, if you want to, give us a call, would you? And we'll see if this thing will work. Let me go back. Ladies down south, don't go away.
I'm not.
3-4. Let me put it back in here, and because it's like this is my second show, and so it's like barely getting off the ground, and I'm hoping that it'll work out a little bit better as time goes on. Platinum, if you feel like it, give me a call, and I'm gonna get back over here where I can see you. I can't do them both at the same time. I'll call those people and find out what happens. Why I can't. But anyway, ladies down south, you said, I'm wondering, are they doing, I'm sure they're doing water quality testing down there where you are. You know, is that going
yes,
to
be
okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, they, you know, they're testing and everything. But like I said, the cutoff day was May 15th. And so far, the boats are docked right now,
wow,
waiting on them to let them know when they can start back.
Those guys are losing money, right?
Right, lots of it.
Yeah, because they'd be out there in that Gulf making that money out of the seafood industry and putting it on the market. Because, you know, people have gotten accustomed to that seafood down there from y'all.
Right, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, that, you know, they'll get it plugged or something, or work out that it won't get this far and they'll let them go back to work real soon.
Right, yeah, I hope so. You know, have you heard anything about when the hurricane season is supposed to kick off? Not trying to talk it up, I'm just asking.
Oh, don't talk it up. Next week, June 1st.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, next week I'll be starting working weekends, so I'll be off Thursdays and Fridays. But, you know, and it's, you know, really until you get friends down in the areas, you know, where some of these things are occurring, it really doesn't have an impact on you. You know what I'm saying? And,
right. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And knowing you and, you know, a few other people that I know down around Louisiana and everything that really depend on the Gulf. The Gulf is part of the economy, and it really has a – it really kind of hurts you. I mean it hurts me.
Oh, yeah, it hurts because, you know, like you say, a lot of us down on this end depends on the Gulf, and – when it's down, we down.
Right, exactly. You know, and it's hopefully we'll, you know, they gave my boy a bad time, you know, today and everything, and I was really kind of disappointed that, you know, that they want him to fail so bad.
And that's because of that, he won't.
Exactly.
As of the fact that they want him to, he will not. He'll make it.
Exactly. You know, I listen to them, and they're trying every way they can to, you know, as if he could swim down there and put something in it to plug it up. You know, he didn't make it.
He didn't cause it. That's right. And all he can do is just hope that they can get it stopped and, you know, do all he can to help it get, you know, stop. So, I mean, it's not his fault. You
no.
Can't fault him. Do.
No. You know, and you know, whenever that happened, that Katrina thing happened down in Louisiana, they were blaming Nagin and Landrieu because she was the governor. And now that
right.
This has happened, and they were, you know, giving Bush a free pass, and now since this is happening, they haven't said a word about Bobby Jindal.
Well, you know, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
They got, you know, they know what they're doing.
Right,
you know,
right.
The wrong people, somebody has to take, you know, to take the fall, so they
right.
Find them somebody.
Right. Yeah. They're looking, you know. And, you know, that's some of the current news. And, you know, the thing of it is that I like about this possibility here is rather than, you know, getting the opinions, because I was listening to them today, and all these news people did, you know, they don't report the news. They only comment on the news, and they speculate. Well, if Obama had done this, and if Obama had done that, and Obama should, you know, and it's all a speculation. And so I'm like, hey, why not us speculate, you know?
That's true. They make a bad issue worse. That's all
right.
They do.
Right. Because they're really not looking to resolve the issue. What they're looking to do is to hang a millstone around Obama's neck. And you know, the reason that it disturbs me is the intent is to have us all look incapable of being in a management position, which is incorrect.
True. You're right. But, you know, I look at it like this. Whatever he do, they going to find fault.
Absolutely. They have to. You know.
So, you know, go ahead. I'm listening.
No. What I was going to say is I'm sitting here, you know, looking at, you know, y'all guys in here and knowing that either one of y'all have either been in management or in management or more than capable of managing. But, you know, due to myth, the myths and the false statements and ideas and whatnot, it doesn't allow us to have the opportunities. And this is, you know, it's given another example of, you know, what can happen to derail the possibilities. And I want to say this right quick. And I almost forgot it. Congratulations, Lady Down South, for all you little graduating people down there and whatnot, and the ones that's passing on and moving on up and all that. I want to say congratulations to everybody.
Thank you. Lisa came in today and said, Granny, do you know I'm a senior now?
She did.
So I say yes, and do you know next year this time you'll be saying, Granny, do you realize I've graduated?
You know, I tell you, it. You know, and that's the reason that this thing, that I'm doing this, more or less. I mean, you know, it's you know, if they get a chance to hear me or they, you know, not necessarily me or anybody else, but I don't want them to just hear one side of the news. That side that's going to be negative toward them. And I was listening to some guys today on the radio, and it was two brothers, and they called into this talk show. And these dudes were saying, I'm so embarrassed with Obama, you know, he should have done this. And I'm sitting here listening to these guys, and I'm like, these guys have literally turned people's minds around about their own guy. I mean, this man is doing to me a phenomenal job, and our children should aspire, children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, whatever, should aspire, I mean, should not be derailed from their endeavors. You know, they should enjoy and partake in this success. You know what I mean?
You're right. I am watching the time track, was on the phone, so I'm going to let you talk.
All right.
Your time is running.
Oh, don't worry about it. You go ahead and do what you have to do. I'm you know, I got this for an hour and a half, and I did it for an hour and a half because last week I had, you know, a little bit of stuff going on. But Ladies Down South, anytime, and you know, I already asked you if you would come on, and we'll talk about that other program, that other social networking program.
Well, I sure will. I'll be more than glad to.
So you just mark that down on your list and platinum. I'm going to be contacting you, so you might as well get ready. Ladies Down South, please, I want you to provide some information, if you don't mind, or whatever else you want to talk about, the breaks. That's happening. I think they got a break in Dallas, you said, this weekend.
Yes, there is.
Any time anybody wants to get on and talk about anything, you know, that's decent. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's what we're all about, you know.
Right, I understand.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's, here I am. You know how I roll.
Yeah, right to that one. But it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it. You're doing good, hey. And I'm gonna start.
You know what?
I'm listening.
I pulled one on you. I'm gonna let you go, but I pulled one on you. You don't know it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you recorded. If you tune in, and you're going to be played over and over, and if you tune in, Yes, you're going to be heard over and over. Yeah, that's for real.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they archived this thing. So I'm just glad that you're on here.
Goodness, shame on you.
Now. Well, you go on and do your thing, and thank you so
all
much.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. I'll talk to you later.
All right, call back anytime.
I sure will.
All right. Doodle.
Cool.
That was ladies down south, down around the Gulf. I won't give her location exactly because she didn't give me permission to. And generally,
mm-hmm.
we.
Talk to you later.
You still on the line? She's still on the line. Oh, I can hang you up. That's me. I gotta hang you up. Okay, I got it. But anyway,
do I have one?
Let me hang this up right here. There we go. All right. Anyway, Platinum, anytime if you feel like calling, please do call. I don't know, Worthy, I guess you left. But whatever it is that we want to talk about, then you're more than willing to. I mean, you know what I'm saying, within reason. We know how to take care of our business, so it's not going to be a big issue in that regard. But I also had some other stories that may be of some interest that just in case I ran into some situations and whatnot. Oh, you're on the line? Hold on. Don't you go nowhere. Because you know I want to argue with you. There you are. All right, turn your speakers down. Can you hear me now?
No, I'm here. I can hear you.
You know I gotta argue with you anyhow.
That's nothing new.
Nothing new, right. But what do you want to talk about? Anything specifically, or just generally?
No, nothing specific.
Do you have an opinion about the school books or the immigration?
No, I mean, I really have. Haven't gotten the exact information, but they changed. Or
go ahead. Just keep talking.
Okay, I don't really know what they did change. What changes were made?
Right.
I would need to see that information before I could really comment on it.
Right.
However,
exactly.
A lot of the things that they were talking about changing.
Right.
I thought was some information that should not be changed.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems as though they were trying to make the slave trade issue a nonchalant issue. You know,
right.
It's not a big deal, you know, but the slave trade did exist.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, we can't sugarcoat. And that, I think that's one of the main problems that we have. You know, we want to sugarcoat a lot of things instead of telling it exactly like it is.
Right.
And dealing with the issue. You know, we want
right.
to kind of sweep it under the rug or change it to make it not as important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some things you just can't sweep under the rug. Some things you need to leave it there as it is and get a dose of reality.
Exactly. I'm totally in agreement with you. Exactly. You know, I was thinking, and you know how I roll, so you know, and I told you, it's going to be straight up. And if people, if you feel free to play the race card, I mean, feel free. You know what I mean? Just relax, chill out, and play the cards that you got in your deck. You know, this is not about, and if a person is not where that they feel comfortable enough that they can listen to it, well, I understand. You know, you don't have to, because this is about our perspective. This is
right.
about, you know, how we feel about issues. I'm tired of having people look at six white guys on TV talking about my situation and my children and what we should do as a culture. And so, you know, that's where I'm at with this. So anything you feel like, you know, talking about, we know how to do it in fine fashion. So,
oh, sure, most definitely,
you know,
and you know how I am.
Absolutely.
I, don't hold back. I will have to change a couple of things.
Well,
I just speak my mind regardless, because
right, exactly.
And you know, if I'm wrong, and you can show me where I'm wrong,
exactly.
I'll be the first one to admit that I'm wrong.
Same here. Because I have an opinion, and that's exactly what it is. It's the same. You see, I listen to these guys on TV, and they all say there's a thing that they say, and if you pay attention, you listen. I think what I think Obama did. I think this. I think black people. I think. You know. And that's all speculation. It may be sus speculation. It may
right.
be con speculation. It's all just nothing. You know, the news thing is news. You know,
mm-hmm.
the oil is leaking. They can't get it plugged. They need booms. They need to, you know, recover the oil. Oh, that's good. But when it gets into, well, Obama doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing. He doesn't seem to be. That's all just opinion. And see,
well,
if you. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was watching the news conference today,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was actually explaining to them the process
right.
that and the steps that they've taken, you know, from day one.
Right.
And, you know, he's basically, you know, said from day one, you know,
right.
when he found out this had happened, I mean, this was priority. You know,
right.
this has been their number one priority, trying
right.
to get this leak stopped. But
right.
some people will do anything they can to try to discredit him
right.
or to make him look bad. And there, I mean, just as he's saying, there's no need of the government trying to step in and don't know what they're doing. No, they're dealing with the people that work on these rigs, these oil companies, those people are professionals. They deal with this on a daily basis. You
right.
got a lot of people sitting up there in Washington, D.C. that don't know anything about drilling for oil or anything like that. Why would you want to put them in charge of something like that?
Exactly.
This is exactly what he was saying, and he's, you know, he's telling, I'm being briefed on this daily. You know, I'm seeing what's going on, I'm hearing what's going on, and yes, you know, a lot of people are offering their help and things of that nature, and we're willing to take into consideration, you know, everything that people are coming to us with. However, there is a process we have to go by and go through, and not
exactly.
only that, you know, when it comes to, you know, they were saying a lot of the shrimpers and people out down there with boats and things are, you know, why don't they put them out and let them go and deal
right.
with some of this stuff? And just like he was explaining to them, well, BP has already contracted people
right.
for issues like this. And
right.
they can't have all these people on the payroll
well,
right now.
You
Let's
know what?
Deal
go
with
ahead,
what
go
they
ahead.
Right now.
No, exactly. Let me throw this at you. You know, this is another thing. What happened was that they, you know, all right, C Platt, they got shrimpers, right? These guys that drive the boats to get the fish and all this, right?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, those guys.
Yeah.
And they want to give those guys the right to go out in the oil, right, and drop the boom,
exactly.
move the boom. Platt, let me tell you something. I heard this conversation today. And I pull up something, and I'm just give me a second, just bear with me just a second. I'm gonna pull up something for you, that, you know, because see, I work in the oil field. Whoa. Oh, there's somebody talking about they can hear me. Get out of here. Get on. Come in the room. Do you know how to get in the room? Come in the room. Come in the room where I am. Talking about that, I can hear you. But anyway, oh, where did I put it? What it is, Platinum, is MSDS sheets. And see, a lot of people don't know about MSDS. That's, dang it. I need to find it. I may have to let you have this mic so I can find it. Maybe this is it right here. No. Anyway, MSDS sheets. What that is material safety data sheets is what it is. And what an MSDS sheet does is it tells you what the potential harmful products are that you're going to be dealing with when you're out there doing this stuff. And there were some guys that went out there with those boats, not trained in the oil thing, and they got overcome by, you know, those.
That's what they were saying. There were some that it had to go to the hospital. I mean, that's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
That's
not everybody can deal with or should be dealing with that. I mean, they're out there. They're they don't realize that they're contaminating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're contaminating the vessels that they're in, and then they're doing that stuff right back. And
ooh,
don't need to be doing that.
Oh, good. You know what? I'm gonna tell you something else. Man, I wish I could remember. That's what I get for putting stuff places that I don't know. But anyway, you know what? Some of this stuff. I'm telling you, I work in the oil field. Not that I know everything about it.
Right.
But you know what, Platt? If you take some of this stuff, like you got your clothes, lays down south saying truth. You know, if you take your clothes home and you put them in the washing machine, for instance, you know, just like your wife or whatever she do, a woman, whatever, girlfriend, whatever, husband, however it rolls, that's your business.
Right.
But the fumes, when you put it in the washing machine in the dryer, then it contaminates everybody in the house. If you got a kid.
Everything that goes there. Everything that goes into that washer or dryer will be contaminated after that.
Yes,
I mean, they have no idea how to deal with hazardous things like this. Well, seems like. I mean, I can understand, yes, they want it contained. Yes, they want it cleaned up. Yes, they want it to be where they can go back out and start shrimping again and doing everything that they need to do. But at what cost are they willing to sacrifice?
Exactly. And these guys are, they're by trade, they're fishermen. They're not a petroleum industry individual. And they have to have some type of course, you know, like, you got to go through some kind of course because you got benzene, toluene, and I mean several different carcinogenic, you know, chemicals involved in that material. I mean, in that, you know, that oil. And these guys are going out there just trying to make a dollar, or you know, trying to do this, that, or the other. And they're putting themselves at risk. They're putting the, if you got, for instance, if you get it in you, if I get it in me, for instance, and my wife and I. If I was married, but if my wife and I had a child, then I could give brain damage or miscarriage or anything, right, to that child. You see what I'm saying? Because the chemical is in me.
Well, I mean, before you even get that far, it could possibly, you know, it could affect your major organs. You don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, your reproductive system. You know.
Yes,
that, I mean, not even saying that you could even reproduce.
Right, exactly. Exactly, yes, yes.
I don't even know. I don't know the extent of what could happen. And I'm sure they probably haven't researched it to find out either. You know, they're talking about, we just need to get this cleaned up. And yes, and the main thing right now, and I understand, yes, they're trying to contain it, which is a major issue, to keep it from going inland, to keep it from going further east. They're trying to contain it within a certain area.
Right.
But again, there's just some things that there are steps that has to be done first.
Exactly.
And you know, they were talking about these ships that can come and siphon.
Right, the tanker?
The water and separate the oil from the water and then pump the water back into the Gulf and things like that. And I'm sure they will possibly use something of that type. But the thing is right now, There's no need of them doing that if they can't get this stopped right now.
Well,
it's not going to do any good.
Right. And see, they've already put a lot of chemicals in the water,
mm-hmm.
what they call the dispersants.
Exactly.
And they don't really know what the extent of being exposed to those dispersants could potentially be. And,
right.
You know, this is all, they may want to blame it on my boy, but this is all from the drill baby drill crowd. I mean, this is
mm-hmm.
why you hear people
yeah.
that argue about don't just go do it, you know, take your time and, you know,
mm-hmm.
think about it and all this different kind of stuff. And that's, to me, part of the reasons. But, you know, and as a matter, they have to get this thing plugged. And this, to me, from my perspective, it's going to be so difficult to do. And if they could bring the tankers, what the tankers would do is they would suck up the oil
mm-hmm.
and suck it onto their large vessels. I forget how many barrels that they can contain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they use some type of separation. What happens is when you put oil in a certain set of conditions,
right?
You can break off the water.
Yes.
And then you can get the petroleum, the oil, and you can then take and if it has any gas, which will be residual gas, because most of the gas can be dissipated when you're pulling it up anyway. It's been dissipated out into the ocean atmosphere, and so you. You can process it, and people think, oh, they're trying to make money. These guys are just trying to, like you were saying, you know, they were just wanting to get the stuff out of the water so that it'll quit contaminating the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a multifaceted approach.
Right.
You know, on the one hand, stop or contain the leak. Number two, potentially disrupt the ability of the leak to come to contaminate as much other area, especially inland area,
right.
if possible. And then the other one is to recover as much of the product so that you get it out of the atmosphere of the ocean and let the ocean have an ability to breathe
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, to take over itself, you know, and assist it as much as possible. So you're 100% right. I'm in total agreement with you. I'm looking through, and I cannot find. I did. Oh, I know what I can do. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I know I'm interrupting you.
No, you're fine.
You know how I do. I interrupt. You know that.
But you know, I just think that, you know, the main thing right now is, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but
no.
Don't panic.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
When you start panicking, you start making mistakes.
Exactly.
When you start trying to do things too fast, you
exactly.
make worse mistakes.
Right.
So it's best to, yes, we all want it stopped, but we don't want to make it worse than what it is.
Right.
If they
do
something wrong,
right,
is going to make it worse.
And you know, the president is going to get blamed.
Yeah,
regardless.
Of course he is. And you know, which, I mean, again, this is something that he had no control over.
Right.
If anything, you know, and I'm not trying to play the political part, but you know, during the primaries and things, that's all you could hear the Republicans hollering, drill, baby, drill. Now they see
right.
what drilling can produce.
Right, yes.
So,
I
don't hear them hollering, drill, baby, drill now.
You know, without a contingency plan, you know what I'm saying? Without a, you know, the whole idea, like on land,
mm-hmm.
you know, really, truly,
You need to have a stopgap. You need to have and replace. A stopgap measure in case
exactly.
something happens. You need to have something in place.
Right.
To just in case an accident happened. And
exactly.
they didn't have that.
No.
And they should have had that. They should have had that years ago.
Absolutely.
because they've been drilling for years and years. So why are they drilling, but they don't have anything in place in case a major disaster like this happens?
You know, that's what you know. You want me to be honest? Can I be honest?
Sure, please do.
You know, and I'm asking that out of respect, you know, but you know, I'm going to tell you just what I think. When you're dealing with cocky people that think they have everything under control and all figured out, now here's the deal. All right, if you're drilling on land, you can get equipment to that blowout,
mm-hmm.
and you can overpower the blowout. Well, it'll do some ecological damage and environmental damage, but you can get, that's what Red Adair and some of those guys were all about. They'd get some equipment in there, they'd neutralize that breach, whatever you want to call it, where the product was getting out into the atmosphere. But when you're down there, 5,000 feet, which is a mile, 5,280 feet equal a mile, so it's like maybe 280 feet, like 280 feet being a mile, the pressure of the ocean, they don't have anything that's man-made.
Exactly.
That, you know, so what they're doing is they're taking from a mile up, and they're guiding this tube down to wherever this thing is, and they're trying to, you know, it's just purely, going to be good engineering to get it done.
Right.
And it's going to be a little bit of luck and a whole lot of prayers to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And because otherwise that hole that they put there, it's under pressure. It's not like putting a hole in your yard in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Under that pressure, under there is, I think they said the pressure of the ocean itself at that point, the bottom of the ocean floor out there in the Gulf, is I want to say 2,000 pounds per square inch.
Mm.
And I can't, I really, to let the fluid come out at the rate it's coming out at, they say, I want to say 12,000 barrels a day or something like that. That pressure is so extreme that you have to overcome the pressure, and that means you have to be precisely on wherever the office is that the pressure is coming from, be exactly there on it, and then introduce whatever it is that you're trying to introduce to stifle that flow. And it's just really, like I say, it's a series of prayers, good engineering, and luck, you know,
right,
to get this thing stopped. But, you know, when you go, that's the practical aspect of it. Then you had a political aspect of it where, you know, blame Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you know, and the whole point of it is to get more, quote-unquote, Republicans in office so that they, and what they've been doing is obstructing. They are the ones that loosened up the regulations that allowed these things
mm-hmm.
to happen initially.
Exactly.
You know, and so what, if you don't have, to my opinion, if you don't have a counterbalance where you got all these white guys on there every day hammering Obama, they literally can change public opinion. You see,
right.
They can give somebody, they can put, just saturate the airwaves, and people will begin to buy into it and go, well, you know, they're right. Obama is inept. Obama is incapable. But the residual effect is, I got kids. I got a son. His mom, I think they were the ones. Hey, welcome, guest. I don't know who you are, but welcome. Let me give you a number. I only got about 12 minutes left, and I'm talking with Platinum One Love for You. And Ladies Down South was on the mic earlier, and Worthy was in here earlier. And I want to welcome you. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you registered. I hope you can type in the room. But let me give you the number if you want to give us a call here. Platinum, give me a second. Give me a second.
No problem.
347-945-7040. 347-945-7040. And I'll check the line and see if you're here. Oh, somebody else. Let me see. Platinum, are you 251?
No.
You're not. Okay,
no,
let me see who this is right quick. I'm going to. I got 251. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. So you got your speaker down? You turn your speaker down to your PC, and we can talk directly on the phone. You hear me okay?
I'm calling you on an iPhone.
Ah, well, hey, I got an iPhone, too. Talk to me. What's up? How you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing pretty good. My name is Dalton, and I heard you talking about the oil spill just a minute ago.
Right.
I just was going to say, from what I understand, they're still working on it, and they still have all the oil in the Gulf. They're working on draining that out, like you were saying. And,
yeah, are you a buddy? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
From what I hear, our local station, which has an app, WKRG News 5.
Where are you?
I'm actually between Fairhope.
The different states. The state is fine.
Alabama.
Oh, okay, cool. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay, we're like in the Gulf Coast area. And,
right.
Like I was saying, WKRG News 5, from what they have said on the TV, if you go onto their website or if you look them up, if you look their app up, which would be just News 5 or WKRG, one or the other, you can get a live feed.
Right, of what's going on.
Right.
So how do you feel about this spill thing?
Honestly, I think that it's a big mess up to our government and everything because you got BP blaming the government, and you got the government blaming the American people, and then you got the American people.
Oh, okay. So you know what? Let me tell you what. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm progressive, man. I'm 100% progressive, and I from what I'm listening to, I'm thinking you must be independent or a conservative. Am I right?
Actually, I'm on the side where Obama came from.
Okay, Dalton. Listen, let me say this right quick. There's to me two sides to it, right? One side is the political side, or one side is the practical side, which is getting the thing stopped, and the other aspect is getting it cleaned up, getting the Gulf cleaned up. All right. The other side is the political side, which is that if you can blame Obama enough, then you can get more Republicans elected. And to me, Republicans are the ones that loosen up the regulations, which allow the leak to occur. Anyway. That's just me and my opinion, all right? Now, it's going to have a definite profound effect on you, I believe, in Alabama. Am I right? Is it going to have some effect? So to me, you know, if we could put the political side, I'm sorry.
Actually, right now, from the last I heard, they were limiting to suspending fishing around here.
Right. And I was talking to a friend of mine, ladies down south. You might see her in the room. She is. You may not be in the room. Okay, but anyway, she's in around the Gulf also, and they're limiting her fishing, and they're doing water quality for y'all. And I'm sure. And Platinum, don't. I'm sorry. You still there, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. But. Excuse me. They're doing water quality checks and all this kind of stuff around where you are, Dalton. And it's going to be. I mean, it's going to take a bit. And I'm not. There was absolutely no contingency because no one had ever run into this before. So there was no reason. I mean, in a way, you know, you always have ways of mitigating, and you always ask why five times and how whatever five. You know what I'm saying, Dalton?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And you want to have a contingency if in event something occurs. And, without blaming anybody, you know, there's only one thing there's one significant occurrence that's going to be a result of this disaster. And what that is that we learned something. And the cost is going to be devastating. It's already 11 lives and a industry in Louisiana. It's going to almost shut down the it will shut down the fishing industry in Louisiana. And maybe do y'all gain some income, your state, from fishing also?
Yeah, we actually, most of the income that we get is from fishing, because we have most of the restaurants around here go out and they catch their own fish and everything. So, yeah, it's going to mess up the economy down here.
Okay. Well, this is going to damage Louisiana. Sorry, it's damaging Texas. It's damaging Louisiana. It's damaging Mississippi. It's damaging Alabama and potentially Florida. And so, you know, when these bumper sticker conversations, bumper sticker this, you know, which is drill, baby, drill, it has its consequences. And what we have to do, in my opinion, people call tree huggers and environmentalists, there's a reason for those people. There's a reason that they keep asking questions. And they keep getting pushed to the side because, you know, people say, we got this, don't worry about it. Well, now it's a blowout. You know, it's a capital system. Capitalistic aspects of it is that when the oil's flowing, petroleum, BP, British Petroleum, makes money. That's for their company and their stockholders. But when they make a mess, then it's a socialist system, because now the government has to come up and clean it up for them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So they take the profit themselves and share the expense. And that's not right, you know. And so, you know, where you and then, you know, people say, well, do you want to nationalize? You know, they say, come in, let the government come in and take over and just, you know, fix this. Well, do you want to nationalize the oil companies? That's what it comes down to, taking the power away from the private. I'm sorry.
Honestly, this is my opinion. I really think they should just do away with offshore altogether, because if you got offshore, you got all the other problems, and they should just stick with on land, you know, like they have in Texas and other places.
Right. Dalton, let me tell you what, bro. What's your number again? 251, right?
Right.
Dalton, let me tell you, thank you, man, and call anytime, and I'll be on usually, it'll be Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m., and we're going to be addressing a lot of different issues, some you'll agree with, some you'll feel uncomfortable about, but it's going to be the truth. I'm not trying to get on here and beat anybody up, and we do play the race card here now. We play every card in the deck, okay? Your card, my card, everybody's card, all right?
All right.
And thank you so much for calling in. And let me get one more caller on right quick, okay?
All right. Thank you very much for allowing
me. Take good care. God bless you and yours, man. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Whoa. Now, 484, area code 484. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. And what state?
Pennsylvania.
Well, how are you doing, ma'am? And if you choose to give your name, fine. If you don't, fine. My show just went off the air, I think. But we got 30 minutes more recording, so you'll be on archive. What do you have a contribution in regard to, please?
I wanted to talk about the oil spill.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Because I hear you.
I know you know who this is.
Okay, I'm listening. Come on.
You know, I thought that because it was in Louisiana, if it was some type of setup or not. And I was asking some people, and they were saying, no, it was an accident. But I just find it kind of ironic that Katrina was, 5 years ago? You know, and here we are again in Louisiana. I just thought it was a setup.
No, I don't think so. Let me speak right quick. Don't go away. Hold on just a second. Platinum, I'm sorry. Cindy Lou, how you doing? Welcome. There she. I didn't see you because I was on the other side over here. I can't look at both screens at the same time. I'm great. Glad you came. Thank you. But go ahead up front, please. You thought it was a setup.
Well, let me say this before she continues,
okay.
If I might.
Right, right.
as far as it being a setup, that would mean that if you listen to a lot of people when Katrina hit, of course they were blaming the government for doing certain things, which means if this was set up, this would be the government's fault also, which the government had nothing to do with this, per se. Well, let me change that. This administration had nothing to do with this. Okay, let me preface it by saying it that way. There's a lot of things in the past that has happened that have been overlooked or that have been passed on when it should not have been, and things have gotten lax, too relaxed in a lot of instances. And I think that this was actually something that was going to happen eventually because of a lot of the ways that things have been done in the past. When you're focusing on making money instead of safety and security, you start letting a lot of things slide by. And I think that's basically what happened. You know, they were focusing more on drilling faster, drilling deeper for more profit. And they weren't thinking about safety issues. And I think that's what needs to happen. They need to be more aware of safety issues and things of that nature. When something starts happening, don't ignore it. You know, from what I'm understanding, they had plenty of warning signs. They just chose to ignore them.
Well, yeah, they did have. Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, absolutely. They had warning signs, and I mean, they had like when they were drilling this well, as I understand it, and this. Well, you played this for me in that room the other night, not for all of us that were in the room where you were.
Right.
Remember that guy saying that there was rubber that came up through that? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was saying that something had malfunctioned.
Right. And they chose to overlook it.
Right, exactly. And that guy kept saying that they wouldn't cut that pipe loose and they just left that rig, remember?
Right.
So you're absolutely right. And you know, let me say this right quick, and pardon me for interrupting, but the thing of it is, in my opinion, also, see, you got stockholders,
right?
And see, this is again what I say is that you have what all these Tea Partiers and right wing people want to say is the capitalist and private. Sector, you know, leave them alone, take the handcuffs off, and we watched it happen with the financial institutions. They were they deregulated them and didn't have any oversight, and you see what happened with the financial system. It almost totally collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And they came, the private sector came to the public sector, and they call it Obama socialist. And remember, they just had that convention down there in Louisiana, in New Orleans. They just had that convention down there in New Orleans, and Bobby Jindal and Vitter and all these, and Sarah Palin and all these different people got up, and Pence and all these people got up, and they just castigated Obama. They just talked about how he was socialist. And the first thing happened whenever this thing occurred is Bobby Jindal. Well, the federal government's not – well, if you don't want the federal government in your business, then you need to state it that you don't want the federal – and if you want to call the federal government a socialist organization – then you have to accept the fact that you're a socialist too if you want them to come in and help you out.
Exactly, and they are part of it. I mean, what do they think being a senator or a governor or anything else in the political realm is?
Exactly. And see, that's, to me, the political part. But what you were talking about practically, exactly what you were saying, the practical aspects were they had been forewarned.
Yeah.
And but instead they chose to keep going on, you know, because it costs so many dollars per foot to drill a well.
Mm-hmm.
Per foot. And, I mean, it's like several hundred thousand dollars a foot to drill some of these wells. And these guys, and time is money. In other words, they think that if the crew's not working, if the machinery's not turning, then they're not making money. And so they will not shut down for safety reasons, like you said. And I agree with you 100%. But those safety reasons that they didn't shut down for cost 11 people their lives.
Right.
And I'm telling you, honestly, one reason that I'm into this thing like this is that I lost a cousin in the oil field in 1983, January the 3rd. He was in an explosion, and it could have been avoided. He, the guy that was operating the rig that he was on, died. He walked. They said he got burned so bad he walked out and turned around and walked back into the fire. He's like, what's the use? The other guy that was on the floor with my cousin, they got what they call floor hands and rig operator and a derrick hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen derricks; they stick up in the air real high. You see, you know, and you'll see that thing moving up and down on them and so forth. You know. And anyway, the guy that was in the derrick, he just got burned over a little bit of his body. But my little cousin, he was down there at Parkland Platinum. That's what I was talking about the other night.
Right.
For 90 days he was down there. They'd scrub him because bacteria would set in.
Right.
And then he'd hemorrhage, and they'd give him more blood. I think he took 90 to 120 units of blood.
Mm.
And I watched my family, and I watched them, you know, they called me. My mom and aunt were the only two down there, and I was back home about 4 hours away from Dallas. And they called me, oh, he's doing great, he's doing great. That morning, I called him when I was, you know, at work or going to work or whatever. And then they call me back. I call him back at lunch. Oh, he's not doing too good. I mean, the roller coaster that we were on as a result of this was totally excruciating. And what happens is every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every Memorial Day, I mean, that person isn't there.
Right.
And I mean, you know, ladies downstairs, she's going through. We've all gone through that. And, you know. So I'm hearing you are 100% on point, and this is why I'm so glad to see them get women on the Supreme Court, you know, because women have a totally different perspective as those guys. And like that lady Sotomayor said, she was a, what did she say? She's a smart Latina woman or something like that. She's, and they got on to her for saying that. Why? She is. It's a smart African-American women, smart Anglo women, smart, period, people. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just grateful that, you know, that, that you know, that we are diversifying things. And I'm going to let you wrap it up, Platinum. I'm going to go ahead and close it up, but I'm going to let you wrap it up. Hello?
Okay.
There you are. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No. I've just enjoyed being on this afternoon. I have enjoyed the discussion, and I'm going to try to tune in more often and share some more views, ideas, and opinions.
Thank you. You know you're always welcome. Ladies down south. Oh, she left already. But anyway, you know what, Platinum, I'm going to tell you something. This is archived, so you'll be on it. I mean, you know, whatever. I got up to a couple of hours or whatever. And, you know, this is just the it's not the maiden voyage. Last week was the maiden voyage. But hopefully I'm looking forward to into the distant future. And, you know, but anyway, I'll get off this thing and I'll talk to you live.
All right.
God bless. Ah, there's Upfront. She came back. Hey, Upfront, I'm getting ready to close out. You want to give me a call, see if you can get in or whatever, or did you? And I I'll let you have the last word or whatever, and then I'll go ahead and close. Let me see. Where'd you go? No? I lost. There it is. Nope. There it is. Okay, now. Loud, she said. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close it. Ah, she left. Anyway, Platinum, I'm going to close it down. And I want to say again, thank you to everybody that was on tonight. And really appreciate you sharing your, as you say, ideas, opinions, and beliefs, if I said it correctly. And I want to close out by saying that this is the next phase with ICE and Friends. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or beliefs and opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the community can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. And in addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increased political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts, synergy with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments in the future, interesting guests in the future, as well as questions and comments from those in our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, or assessing a significance of spiritual impact, or investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include, please join us on the next phase with ICE and Friends, and that's going to be Thursdays, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.